Good morning and evening, amateurs and shortwave listeners. This week we have news on POTA, Southern Electronics Group's car boot sale, Pargfest, our regular articles from Ono and Steve, and of course, more great bargains from Roy's Helpline. This is News West, VK6ARN. We're a community organisation, and we've been serving up the news since 1931. I'm Steve, VK6SJ, your presenter this week. Now, on with the news.
G'day from VK6RRG. This is WAG News for the first day of February 2026. The next meeting of WAG is tomorrow night. Yes, Monday the 2nd of February. Doors will open 7pm for a 7:30pm start where 1st Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, number 12 Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. All the way down Australia 2 Drive, right to the end. Sharp left before you hit the T. There's plenty of time both before and after the meeting to grab a coffee and a bicky or a tea or, yeah, anyway. Tomorrow night is a really important planning meeting for your repeater group. So if you're a WAG member, please try to get yourself down to the meeting tomorrow night. The more people to plan, the better year we'll have. Are you a member of WAG at WAG? This is the WAG email reflector. Go to the WAG website at warg.org.au, and across the top there are some menus and you'll find the one and you'll be able to check, although technically you'll probably know if you're getting emails from WAG. These emails generally announce the meeting, carry the agenda and former minutes, all fairly important stuff. We also have a link in the members section to the online meeting if you cannot physically get there. We use Google Meets. Thank you, and I hope to see you down at First Pelican Point from 7pm tomorrow night. 7-3s from VK6RRG. Oh, and just a quick reminder, the WAG Technical and General Net is on after the news in the morning on VK6RLM and, if the thing's been fixed, on the hubs. Otherwise, just on RLM until it's fixed. That being said, of course, if you're listening to this another time than Sunday morning, it's next week.
Good morning from the Southern Electronics Group. SEG would like to announce an event planned for March 2026. The SEG Mount Barker car boot sale is planned for Saturday, the 7th of March 2026. The event will be located at Frost Park, the Mount Barker racecourse, which is just off McDonald Avenue in Mount Barker. Doors will open at 11am and there will be a $5 cover charge for buyers and sellers. Bring along your treasures or come and grab a bargain. For all those southern country folk who miss the Hamfest sales in Perth, here's your opportunity to clear out the shack. We'll provide further updates as we get closer to the event. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's February bulletin to go to air. This month, as well as the latest club news, we'll deviate from an historical article and have a look at where developments in battery technology were about 12 years ago. Both of these articles were first broadcast in March 2014. The first is read by myself, and this will be followed by a second article on the same theme by Ian, VK3JS, discussing further developments made at that time by Swedish manufacturer Volvo. Tomorrow, VK6JI will broadcast the REOTC bulletin at 8am local time on 80 metres on 3620 kHz and again at 10am on 40 metres on 7088 kHz. Also at 10am we have the bulletin transmitted on 2 metres, 6 metres and 70 centimetres via the News West linked repeater system. At midday local time, Mike, VK8MA, has a 10-metre transmission on 28.450 MHz. Full details of all transmission times, frequencies and modes can be found at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. When visiting the website, bear in mind that Victoria is now on daylight saving time, so local time in WA is 3 hours behind Victoria time. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. The monthly luncheon meeting. The February lunchtime meeting at the historic 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, Balcatta, is on Tuesday, February the 10th, starting at 11:30. Full details are on the club website. If planning to attend, be sure to contact lunch coordinator Alastair, VK6ATX, as soon as possible. Alastair's email is vk6kiloindiafoxtrot@bigpond.com. Once again, that's Alastair's email is his old call sign vk6kif@bigpond.com. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the February RAOTC Bulletin. Enjoy the programme and please join in the callbacks afterwards. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
HAMP College is a Perth-based organisation focused on providing top-quality training to enable students to attain their foundation, standard and advanced licences. We run a foundation course in the first weekends of February, April, June, August, October and December of each year, with the exams being run the weekend after. We also run a standard advanced course on Tuesday nights this year, starting on Tuesday, March the 10th, and finishing in October. While there are quicker ways to get the qualification, we believe our approach provides the best depth of knowledge of any course in the country and providing the most useful start to your amateur career. To book a place on any of our courses, please use the Contact Us page on our website at www.hamcollege.org.au. We are constantly looking for additional instructors to assist in delivering our courses, and in particular, looking for one more instructor to join our standard and advanced course team. This would suit an electronics professional or anyone with a good depth of knowledge of electronics in general. We've had a number of foundation licensed hams also assisting in delivering the foundation course, so please don't let your license level prevent you from assisting. More experienced hams are also sought after for teaching all levels of training. Our training and support crew are well respected and a friendly crew of hams. We learn from each other and our students. We're also keen to add to our training courses to provide training in other aspects of the hobby, but would need additional instructors for this. So if you have a topic you'd like to teach, please contact us via our Contact Us page. And again, to book a place on any of our courses, you can contact us via our Contact Us page at www.hamcollege.org.au. Thank you.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Putting your station together is best described as a juggling act, since you'll discover that everything depends on everything else. And the more you plan, the more you learn, and the more variables become apparent. None more so than with the selection of an antenna. Antennas are endlessly variable. To give you a taste, imagine a loop of wire shaped like a circle. As you stretch the circle, it becomes an oval. If you pull on four corners, it's a square. Pull it tight between two points and it more or less becomes a single wire. In other words, one piece of wire can essentially make an infinite number of antennas. And we haven't even varied the material, length, thickness, or coating. So, to discuss antennas is to embark on a lifelong journey of exploration. And me telling you to get one over another is not going to help. Instead, I'd like to discuss some considerations that you might not have encountered. The obvious issue of space is generally the first consideration. Then there's the neighbours in their sense of aesthetics, or lack thereof. There's local laws to abide by, and sometimes permissions and permit requirements, though in many cases it seems that seeking forgiveness is a quicker route to success. Your mileage may vary. Talk to your local amateur club. There's the property owner to consider. If that's you, great, drill away. If not, you will need to tailor your antenna selection to the amount of renovations required. If you live in a restricted location where there are all manner of rules about the things that you cannot do, you might need to think carefully about your options. Stealthy antennas are a thing. As I've said previously, inside your roof might be an option, but there are others. Some examples to consider. If there's a TV aerial on your roof, will that look similar to a 70cm Yagi, or could it hide a 2m vertical? Do you have a metal gutter which might act as an antenna, or could you use Christmas light clips to hang a wire antenna from your gutters? Could you hide a vertical in a plastic downpipe? Could you dangle a ladder line antenna out a window at night, or use thin wire to hold up your plants while hiding your antenna in the garden? Or can you use a beverage antenna that's lying on the ground, or hidden under the fence capping? Could you tune up your fence, for that matter? In other ways to make your hobby look invisible in plain sight, could you use an antenna that looks like a roof vent? Or, if you're into moon bounce, could you repurpose a satellite dish? Could you make your outdoor washing line into an antenna, or add a flagpole vertical antenna that also happens to soothe your vexillology sensibilities? While we're talking stealth, you can paint your antenna to match the decor. To get your antenna up in the air, could you use a length of wood, a pool cleaning or painter's pole strapped to your pergola, gazebo, balcony railing, or some other existing structure? Can you use the edging of a shade sail? Professionally installed, it comes complete with mounting points. It doesn't stop there. I've heard of several amateurs who managed to park a sailboat, with the mast up, in their driveway without ever once floating it in a nearby body of water. Of course, this is not exhaustive, nor is it meant to be. It's really a trigger to think about some options that you might not have discovered. In other words, if you need stealth, you can be creative rather than buy an antenna off the shelf. Speaking of buying off the shelf, there's nothing quite like buying a wonderful antenna, the answer to all your questions, only to discover that it needs tuning and tweaking, to the point where you might spend a year getting familiar with all its quirks. That's not to discourage you from picking that path, just to warn you that there is no such thing as the perfect antenna. If you are less space-restricted, building a tower or a mast, the difference being that a tower stands all by itself, like the one in Paris, a mast needs guy wires to keep it up. You'll likely need to consider failure, engineering standards and concrete, not to mention maintenance. So, how do you go about selecting the perfect antenna to suit your needs? In the same way that a magician pulls a rabbit from a hat. In other words, there's a trick. It's pretty simple. Start small. With that I mean start with a simple wire antenna. It will achieve a number of things that only experience will give you. For starters, it will prove that your shack works, as in end to end. That might not sound like a big deal, but there are many different moving parts in building a successful shack. Making your first contact is going to be a milestone worth logging. More on that another day. While making your first contact is momentous, getting an antenna in the air will also allow you to hear what your neighbourhood sounds like. Is it completely RF quiet? In which case, where do you live and do you have a spare bedroom? The reality is, for most of us, local RF noise is the norm when setting up your station. Noise is a whole other topic, and I'll get into that next time. I haven't said anything at this point about your living circumstances, but it should be obvious that anyone you're living with needs to be on board with your adventures. So discuss your plans and concerns. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
You are listening to News West, your weekly news from VK6 ARN. If you have any items for the news, the latest they can be submitted is noon Friday. If you have an item you would like read out by the news team, please give plenty of notice to allow someone to record the item before the Friday deadline. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6 ARN.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? Today I thought I'd revisit a topic I spoke about 2 or 3 years ago, mainly because I've been playing with the same concept on a project at my local club at NCRG. With remote station operation becoming mainstream these days, most clubs have or are planning a remote station that all members can use, and there are a few others around that have built a station either on their own or with a group of friends. One of the issues that will pop up pretty quickly is airtime and sharing thereof. In a club, this can be more acute given your club could have anything from 20 to 60 members. One way of mitigating this is to have a couple of transceivers sharing a common set of antennas. This leads to the issue of isolation between the two transceivers. Same issue also arises if you're doing a contest as a multi-multi entrant. There are two aspects here that will come into being. The first is how not to be on the same band as the other station, and how to minimise or negate interference between the two stations even when they are not on the same band. Starting with the second issue first, placing HiQ bandpass filters into your system for each band will reduce interference between bands. If you're not running an amplifier, there are a bunch of good quality 100 watt bandpass filters on the market for around $150 mark each for each band. If you are running an amp, placing them between the radio and the amplifier will improve things, but you won't get the isolation you really need. It's also problematic switching the filters in prior to the amplifier, but not impossible. If you are running some power, there are a few high power and very high Q bandpass filters on the market that can cope with anything up to 4 kilowatts depending on the model. Myself and a few friends built ourselves a shared station using 403A filters, and at NCRG we've just finished installing filters from antennas amplifiers. Both good brands, and filters cost around the $800 mark each. Total price starts to add up once you get a filter for each band, but the alternative is to have geographically separate locations for the two stations, which can cause some issues in contests, or at best, a couple of masts with as much separation as you can manage. You'll probably spend more than the cost of the filters on concrete, mask, an excavator, etc., and maybe still not achieve a better result than with filters. I know with my station we can be on two separate bands at the same time with no noticeable interference or even raising of the noise floor. The most common pair of bands we use on a given afternoon is 40 metres and 10 metres. Our 40 metre steerable dipole is about a metre above the tri-band Yagi we use for 10 metres. On a similar subject, you can also get combiners that you add the appropriate filters to, which will then allow you to share a single tri-band Yagi between two transceivers on different bands. We have one for 10, 15 and 20 metres, and I've monitored the other two bands while transmitting on the third band, and I can tell you these work exceedingly well. The only issue will be once we get our 1.5 kilowatt privileges, we'll need to beef up the antennas and balans to cope with multiple transmissions at high power. Back to the first issue, how do we switch all of these filters and antennas? There are a few large capacity coaxial switches around. Personally, I use the 403A Antenna Genius, but you could get similar results with a Node-RED server controlling some WED relay controllers that will switch in various coaxial relays to do what you need. At NCRG, we actually did a combination of the two. The Antenna Genius allows two transceivers to share 8 antennas. The switch can assign ports to bands, which is useful if you have multiple antenna choices for a given band. There's also smarts in the switch to allow you to prevent the two transceivers from switching to an antenna on the same band. The switch can follow your radio. However, a caveat to this is that the Antenna Genius was designed around the flex, and it follows it nicely, but for other radios you need to use band control data, which not so many radios do these days. Again, a Node-RED server works well for this, which is how we use these switches at NCRG. If you have more than 8 antennas, the Antenna Genius can be cascaded to allow the two transceivers to share up to 16 antennas. The switch also has an application you can connect via a LAN connection to, which allows both stations to monitor the band that the other is on. And if you have multiple antenna choices for the same band, the app allows you to switch between those antenna ports allocated to the chosen band. So on my shared station, we have a TH5 Yagi for 10, 15 and 20 metres, a homebrew 6 metre log periodic Yagi, and dipoles for 40, 80 and 160 metres. We have filtering for each of those bands except 6 metres and a combiner for the TH5 frequencies. We also have an off-centre fed dipole we use on the WARC bands with no filtering at the moment. Switching is using a single antenna Genius switch. Because we're using a single filter for each band, we don't need to select antennas, so they'll just follow whichever band each radio is connected to. Well, I hope this episode gives you something to think about. It's just one of the aspects about a shared station. If you wished you could spend 4 times as much on ham radio without suddenly finding yourself living alone, maybe find 3 friends with a similar dilemma and pool your resources. Thanks for listening. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? Broadcast courtesy of News West, VK6ARN.
Hello, I'm Tony, VK6DQ, from Peel Amateur Radio Group. The countdown to Parkfest 2026 is underway. The largest annual hamfest south of the river will again be held at the Mandura Bowling Club on the morning of Saturday, February 7th, near the Mandura rail station. Doors open for exhibitors at 8 a.m. If you have not already booked your free tables, do so now, or you may miss out. Doors open for the public at 9 a.m. The entry fee is still only $5 each. Get in early for a bargain, meet up with old friends, barista coffee, hot food. The door prizes and mega raffle draws will be at 12 noon. Cash tickets available at the venue on the day. However, they are available right now via the PARG website. Bring your ham radio and electronics enthusiast friends along for a great day in Mandura. Put it in your diary now. Saturday, February 7th, Peel Amateur Radio Group's annual Parkfest and Swap Meet.
Hello, Mark, VK6XRay Lima Zulu, with a word from Weissen. Not tomorrow night, but the following weekend. Well, it's a busy weekend. Of course, you've got Parkfest on Saturday, and Weissen will be down there, as well as many other groups will be. But on Sunday, the 8th of February, up at King's Park from 10:30 a.m. in the morning at the gazebo at the end of Saw Avenue on the western fringe of King's Park is the barbecue. Bring your own food and make sure you've got, I'll bring some tongs and stuff, so you're good there. But bring your own camp seat and we'll have the meeting. The first Weissen meeting for 2026. And then we've got Phil VK6DEV bringing up a localized fox, which we'll do in the park. And then a little bit later on, we will do the mobile fox, and we'll start the mobile fox from its original starting point, the usual point in King's Park, with the Women's Memorial Fountain. And I believe we're starting that at 4:30 p.m. So, a busy weekend coming up next weekend. Thank you for listening. 73s from VK6WIE.
The Northern Corridor Radio Group gathers for a chat, cooked breakfast, and work on current projects every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Visitors and prospective new members are always welcome. The club is on Nangara Road at Whiteman Park on the first right turn after the Tonkin Highway entrance, when travelling east towards Allenbrook. The club has an excellent station with multiple operating rooms, an EME station, a remote station for all members to use, club repeaters on 2 metres, 70 cms and 23 centimetres, and a bunch of other activities for members of all interests.
Okay, as many of you know, I've nominated for the WIA board in 2026, and I want to be very clear about what I intend to focus on if I'm elected. First and foremost is implementing a structured, ongoing engagement strategy with the ACMA. The relationship we have between the amateur service and the regulator cannot be ad hoc, reactive, or personality-driven. It needs to be deliberate, professional, and continuous. This means regular technical dialogue, evidence-based submissions, and a clear articulation of how amateur radio delivers public benefit, innovation, skills development, and an emergency capability. Engagement with the ACMA is not something we visit every few years when a problem appears. It must be embedded in how the WIA operate. Now, my second priority is creating and implementing a national education, training, and assessment strategy for amateur radio. Now that the WIA has an agreement in place with the Radio and Electronics School, we finally have the foundation to do this properly. This is an opportunity to move beyond fragmented state-by-state approaches and build a nationally consistent framework covering foundation through to advanced, assessor development, modern learning materials, and clear pathways into the hobby. Education is how we grow numbers, retain members, and future-proof amateur radio in Australia. For those who know me, you know I'm not interested in endless discussion papers or ticking boxes. I'm a doer. I like building things, fixing things, and getting outcomes. I've represented amateurs at a national level before, and I'm eager to do it again, with a clear focus on delivery, not rhetoric. If elected, my aim is simple. Strengthen our standing with the regulator, modernise how we bring people into the hobby, and ensure the WIA remains credible, relevant, and effective for the years ahead. If you need to know the other stuff about me, then look on my bio page on the WIA website, my blog, or my LinkedIn pages. 73, Justin, VK7, Tango Whiskey.
This is Peter, VK3YE, and you're listening to News West.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's Disposals Helpline for the 1st of February 2026. Not much to report today, but Mac is still urgently seeking a DTMF microphone to suit the Yaesu Fox Tango 2200 transceiver. An example of that would be the Yaesu Mic Bravo 27 Bravo Bravo. Can anyone help with any DTMF microphone, or know where you might be able to get a Yaesu copy or another DTMF microphone? Have a look through your junk box. If you have a DTMF microphone there of any type, any model that may be able to be converted to suit the Yaesu 2200, please contact Mac. Had this one out there for 4 or 5 weeks now and is desperately seeking your help. Please call him on his email, vk6mike@iinet.net.au. That's Mac, vk6mike, desperately seeking a DTMF microphone still. Please call him, vk6mike@iinet.net. Alpha Uniform. Thank you, Mac, for giving me something to do. Otherwise, I'd be looking for a new job. I might be doing that anyway, but if you would like to keep me in the same job as I have been doing for the last 40 years, please contact me at the email address vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And thank you once again for listening. 73 from me.
Thanks, Roy. Well, that brings this week's broadcast to an end. Thank you to presenters, contributors, broadcasters, and especially all you listeners. We're always looking for material for the broadcast, so please feel free to send in your club news or any article of interest in either voice or text. Now please stand by for the callbacks, or if your broadcast doesn't have a callback, put out a call yourself and create your own callback and send us the details. 73s, this is Steve, VK6SJ, at VK6ARN, News West.